Why waste good content? You never know. Might as well record it. Okay. So I'm back to Call Me, right? Okay. And where are you? You're way down the list. We don't talk anymore.
Cool. That's not cool.
That should be your unique code.
Okay. No, that's not too long. That's not bad. Okay.
Actually, a very short code. They got like an 8-bit hash.
This is not hack-proof.
No.
All right.
Are you connecting? Oh, I lost you. Oh, there you go.
Okay, I just did it.
Yeah.
I did call a Rodecaster and put in the code.
Yeah.
And then it just went back to the call a Rodecaster screen.
Okay, hold on. Hosting. Ah, no, I'm hosting.
Mm-hmm. Done. Okay. I hit done and then it
does nothing.
It goes back to, do I have to hit another button?
Advanced.
Make a call. Oh, okay. Okay. Wait, are we doing it? Is this happening?
Wait. Did I just see something pop up? Hold on. Call Me configuration. I am hosting.
Does your screen says you must be connected to the internet to use Call Me?
If you're not connected to the internet, it's not going to work.
But I am. I've got a cord in the wall. Like, what does yours say? Okay, you got the Call Me thing on one side, and then you have this button that says Call Me configuration, right?
Yeah.
On the right?
Yeah.
Above that, what does it say? Because mine says you must be connected to the internet.
Mine says, you're ready to go. Dave's no good.
Oh, well, it's clearly my fault.
Well, hold on. So if you go to settings, system, network.
I'm on the internet because I downloaded the firmware update, you stupid machine.
Just check and look at your IP address. Are you behind some kind of firewall thingamabob?
No, I mean, just a NAT router like everybody else. Let's see. System, network. It says connected.
All right.
Advanced. I've got a.
All right. How about
an IP address?
How about if you switch on hosting?
Okay.
And give me your code, and we'll try it. And we'll try it in reverse.
Well,
you did that code all uppercase.
Yeah, I don't think I can. Wait, switch on. Okay, hosting. Yeah, you hosting. Must be connected to the internet to use Call Me. I am connected to the internet.
No, you're not, man. Obviously.
Turn off. Okay. Turn off.
Turn off and turn it on again. Reboot your router. Reboot your router.
It says hosting is turned. Okay, that was the. I had hosting turned on. Okay. I've got a. There's a thing in here where you can put in. Looks like a auto dial, like a quick dial. I'm gonna put you in my speed dial.
Yeah, baby. I got to be number one on your Rodecaster speed dial.
I'm gonna slide into your DMs. Okay. See.
Now you're gonna try calling me again?
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, okay. Look, we already got alternate exposure for video. This is what the board meeting is for.
This is a horrible product. This does nothing.
Well, so what? Like, walk me through it. What are you seeing?
Well, I put you in as a speed dial.
Yeah.
And then I tap your name.
Yeah.
And it says call or delete. I hit call and it does nothing.
Well,
it just goes right back to this.
Go
home screen.
Go back to hosting.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to mess with this too long.
Turn on hosting. Hosting is currently turned off.
You turn on hosting. I'll turn mine off. Okay.
And now all it says is you must be connected to the internet. Hmm. This is a terrible product.
That's what I had the previous time I had that.
You said you must be connected to the internet?
Yeah, but then I upgrade. So you don't have, if you go to, if I turn on hosting. Oh, I got a new code. Hold on.
Oh, you got a new code. Oh, you had hosting turned off.
No, I had it on.
Oh, okay. You got a new code. I got to go change my code. Yeah, change my code.
Okay, change your code. All right. What's under advanced?
Okay. Why no caps lock? Let's see.
No, there is no caps lock.
I know, it's terrible. See.
Which is like the biggest UX problem this whole product has.
Uh-huh.
Keep double tapping it. Like, come on, man. Come on, man.
Okay. Okay, I've saved you. Call. Nothing. It does nothing. I hit call and it just goes right back to the screen. It doesn't do anything.
Well, let's try something else then.
What, clean feed?
No, let me try this. Call me configuration.
host. Like, I mean, what is it supposed to do?
Well, I'm make a call.
Bitpunk, I'm connected. I promise, I'm connected.
No, I think you need to do something different. So go back.
I'm about to do something very different. Go ahead. Whoa, I lost Adam. I lost you.
Uh oh.
Oh, this is the worst thing ever.
So I was in the call me configuration, and wow, how does this even happen? And the other mic doesn't work at all. Oh, it does. Hold on.
Hello, that one.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's better.
No, but that's the secondary mic. What the F?
Wow. Man, this is a complete meltdown of the road here.
I've never had this happen.
Road, call me.
Let me see. That is very, very odd. It's like, I hope I didn't blow something up. All right, let me try rebooting it again.
Check for leaky capacitors.
Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. All right, see if I can come back. Oh, man. It can't be the mic. No, it's not the mic. No, I figured I might as well go all out. And I'll do a firmware upgrade while I'm at it.
Is there one available?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, do that quick.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Also, reboot the index node. Do that. That needs to happen.
Okay, we need a couple hours. We'll be right back with the show. Wow, this is unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Installing.
This is a horrible product.
Well, when stuff like this happens, it's very disconcerting.
Yeah.
And all we were trying to do is just use a new feature.
I'm up to date. I don't have a Spurlock said you need to say that's one small step for man.
Okay. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for podcasting.
Touchdown.
The eagle has landed.
The eagle has landed.
Oh, that's crazy. It's the mic channels that are busted, which is, I mean, this is the main mic channel.
Were you running it too hot?
No.
You overdrived it. You just blew out your Rodecaster.
I fried my MOSFET.
Your MOSFET, yeah.
Okay, it's taking a long time to install this thing.
That's a bad sign, too.
That is never good.
Do I sound normal to you?
Yeah, you sound fine. I mean, Oh, well, now nothing works. We're in permanent state of...
My firmware version is 1.6.6.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I really think that this should be the show. I'm going to put this whole bit out.
I mean, I'm streaming it. So, like, I'm on HLS.
Hold on a second. Now, let me see. Maybe that was where the problem was. Now, how do I get back to call me?
Are we still calling each other?
I'm in it for the long haul now, Dave.
Okay. All right. We'll do it. Okay.
Let's see. So faders. Oh, I can't even adjust fade. Oh, that's because. Okay.
I've still got you in my speed dial.
Yeah. So faders. Number two, call me. Check mark. Okay. So that's up.
That's assuming you're through this whole firmware debacle that your code thing didn't change.
Yeah, right. Hosting. I am hosting. You want to try it one more time?
Yeah. Can you see what your code is?
Yes.
Is it the same?
No.
Okay, of course not.
No, man. It's encrypted. It's all encrypted stuff.
So 8-digit encrypted.
Okay. You got my my hoo-how there?
I'm signaling you on the...
That was hella crazy, man.
That's ridiculous. Let's see. I'm glad that didn't happen on an NA show day.
Well, especially since we had 1800 yesterday. The big celebration episode.
Okay. It's not good if I just say it out loud as I type it. That's going to defeat the purpose.
Well, it's not like anyone's going to be able to call me anyway.
Yeah. True. Okay. Call.
Call.
Nothing.
Nothing. All right. Now, why don't you turn on hosting and I'll try calling you. This is where we screwed up last time. Make a call. Okay. Rodecaster code. Okay.
It says I have hosting already turned on.
Oh, well, you can't call me if you turn your hosting off.
The interface for this is horrible.
Okay, so you go to call me and you see advanced hosting and upgrade.
Okay, I see. I'm on call me and it says enable hosting. Oh. And then at the bottom is call me configuration.
Okay, so enable hosting.
Okay, and it says you must be connected to the internet to use call me. I'm on the internet. I downloaded your firmware yesterday.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Podcasting 2.0 for September 19th, 2025, episode 235, Roadcaster Disaster. Hello, everybody. It's not working. It's on the fritz, but the eagle has landed. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. We are simulcasting. If everything's going according to plan. Of course, this is the board meeting where we discuss all things podcasting and get into the weeds. It's the only boardroom that Brendan Carr may not enter. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who spent 2 weeks fighting CSS and JavaScript and won. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones.
If you use a Roadcaster, you need to have a couple of things.
Yes, a technician next to you, first of all.
A technician from Australia in the seat next to you.
Oi, mate, you're pressing the wrong button, huh?
You check your profile, mate. And then you need to also have a humongous Costco-sized bottle of antacid.
Oh, my Lord.
The stress level of trying to use this product sometimes is off the chart.
So what should we do? Shall I put the recording that I had at the end of the show so people can listen to it there, and then we'll just start the board meeting as usual?
Yeah.
And some of the effects that we acquired while trying to get this done were quite amazing.
I think you should just leave it as is. Just let the whole front just roll with it. You were recording the whole time. Just roll with
Well,
it.
Well, you know, whenever I
post had, as is.
Whenever, okay, you got it. Whenever I had to reboot. Wow, hold on a second. Now things have changed here on your end. I see why. I'm using the no agenda profile. That's why. Are you there? Yeah.
You sound like you
just got older. You sound like you're in your 70s all of a sudden. Yeah, so whenever I had to reboot, which I did once, and then I upgraded, and then it rebooted, and then I entered a new profile. But when the machine reboots, then of course Hindenburg, which I used to record, that immediately goes, nope. It says, nope. Yeah, nope.
You're done.
Yeah. Let me just make sure I actually am using the right input here, because that could be disastrous as well. Goodness. Hold on a second.
Oh, no.
Hold on a second.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Let me just check something. Hold on. This is going to be funny. Hold on.
Okay. Awesome. So yeah.
Didn't we have to put in video somewhere? Oh, wait, didn't we? We did that. We did that manually, didn't we?
That was in the title attribute, I think.
Let me see. Yes, title equals video. It's still in there. Woohoo! Yes. Okay, Stephen Bell, right, so man. You've made some amazing stuff.
Let me go check True Fans and make sure. Because I think I saw a update come through for Fountain this week. So I think he may have added live video support.
Oh, are we checking that? This is probably one of the most discombobulated podcasts I've done in my entire pod rear.
I bet there were some early Daily Source codes that rivaled it.
Well, that's true. There were actually some shows that I did with, wow, I got a source error code. All right.
Okay, here we go.
There were a couple of what was it called? What Dave Weiner and I we did a podcast called Trade Secrets. And okay, here we are live. All right.
Yep. I'm seeing myself on True Fans. So let me check.
Okay, so now where do I switch? I'm on
True Fans.
No, I'm on Fountain. Yeah, seeing if Fountain will do it.
That's a good question.
Let's switch to video. Oh, I just saw it. It said switch to video.
Where is it?
I'm all excited. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm all jitty. Switch to video. Oh, I switched to video and it doesn't switch.
Switch to video. Oh, I saw switch to video. It was up for a second. There
you got to tap the...
I see it. I see it.
It's not working for me.
Yes.
Not, you're on Android. I'm on iOS. I wonder.
Oh, look at that. It's working.
I get to switch to video. Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Did you get it? Did you get it?
Hold on. I got a black screen.
Okay, that's step one.
The step one is black screen is good. Got a black screen. This is amazing. Okay, it's not working. Let me see if I got audio from it. Yeah, I got audio, but I don't have video.
No, man.
Let me speak.
That's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
It's working flawlessly on mine.
Hmm. Yeah, it's because all those guys only test on iPhones. Like, oh, it works great, fine. Just publish. Just put it in Swift and publish it to the Play Store.
Swift.
Let me pause. Let me see if that helps. Maybe I can cast it. Let me cast it to my device. Let's see if I can
cast it up to the quad screen.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's see. It's looking for stuff.
Looking for looking, scanning.
So what we're doing here is basically, I think it's a first for podcasting, where we're doing a live audio and video podcast with alternate enclosure.
Yes.
It still says looking for a device. Do I have to do something on my on my television?
To be clear, PeerTube supported this. And it was doable, but the apps did not support it until later. And so then I'm not sure that anybody has used I'm not sure it's been revisited since then, because I did a little bit of this on NAtube when No Agenda Tube was up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to go that extra step and stick it in the index, or stick it in a directory as a podcast with the PeerTube podcasting 2.0 support in it. Then somebody needs to watch it and you be live. There's a lot of things that need to happen, and I'm just not sure that has been ever fully tested on a live episode, in the app. So yeah. True fans put in support later. So the content was there and ready to go.
Right.
I just don't think the apps hit it yet.
Let me see. Do I need to, if I want to cast to my device, source, how about that? Source? I thought it usually just pops up by itself. Source.
Okay. Like the Chromecast?
Yeah.
Type thing?
Yeah. Source. doesn't look like it. I got a lot of IP addresses here. Okay. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. I wonder.
Oh, I just got, look at you, true fans. Posting to my timeline on Podcast Index.
No, in real time? In real time? This is pretty cool, man.
It says Dave Jones played an episode of Podcasting 2.0, listened for 9 seconds, completed 1%. Wow.
Let me see. How about if...
I'm on the test flight. I wonder if that. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
But you have it in yours though, because you have the watch video button.
I'm also a tester. Let me see if there's an update. No. What version is this? You're an internal tester. This app may be unsecure or unstable. 5 stars. Okay.
But the Rodecaster is unsecure and unstable. We know. I mean.
Let me see. Come on, get back here. Well, let me just try it again. Open. All right. Where's my podcasting 2.0? All right. Just try it one more time. And otherwise, I'm getting a screenshot. Screenshots. Ah, missed it.
Oh, what?
I got some failed.
You got an error message?
Yeah, I got some, no activity. How about no? Where's live? Play. Okay. Playing. Switch to video.
Come on. Come on, baby. Go.
Come on.
Let's do it.
It takes a bit. It doesn't want to switch to video right away, which is odd. I had that the last time too.
Mine took like 2 or 3 seconds, but then it popped up.
Here we go.
Oh, is it working?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, nice. Can you tell what the delay is?
Let's see.
Popped up.
Here we go. Is it working?
So about what, 6 or 7 seconds? Something like that. Nice.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, that is very cool. Very cool.
Hey, that works, man. We need to have a...
Hold on. We need to celebrate. That is
a horrible failure and a win within the same hour.
Amazing.
That's a head snapper.
Let me see. Is your... Yeah, your audio and video is pretty sync. That works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. Well, that's the show, everybody.
Half the show was trying to get the failed Rodecaster Call Me function to work.
Well, just goes to show what a couple of nut jobs in the UK can do versus an entire corporation organization in Australia. Nothing against Australia. I'm just saying.
There's just like this, I don't know. There's like this penumbra around just web audio, like real time web audio, and how it's just not clear how to make this stuff work. There's all these little idiosyncrasies that you have to get right.
And amazing.
It really requires like some voodoo and some experience to get to the bottom of it. Like the problem with the Call Me thing is we never even got to test it because it just doesn't work.
Well, so I tested it with a web browser because you can give someone a QR code and then, or a code, a link. Okay. And that worked. It worked completely perfectly. I was using the web browser on my phone. And then I hung up, and then it never worked again. I would call, and it would say connected, but nothing would come into my end. Which kind of makes me think that, you know, maybe there was something going on with my Rodecaster in general. I don't think we should try it again right now.
No.
Although
that's probably a bad idea.
So here's a question I have for you.
Sure.
I've been doing a lot of coding. Yes, vibe coding. And, you know, Tina's visiting her family in Indiana, so it's just me and the dog.
And that's code fuel is what that is.
So my question, yes. So, you know, like 1:30, I'm like, oh man. But it's always one more build. Just one more build. And then so what do you use as the mechanism to stop? Because it feels so, you know, it's like I'll do one more build, and then if the build fails, I'm going to keep going. And if I can't get it done, I'll revert back to the most recent one, and then I can go to bed. But then I'm really unhappy because I'm thinking, well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. It's all these different possibilities that could have made it go wrong. So at what point do you just say, okay, I have to stop, and how do you do it?
See, this is easy for me and hard for you, because for me, I have natural breakpoints built into my day where I have to, my typical pattern is I get up in the morning, I get a cup of, immediately get a cup of coffee and start coding on Godcaster. But I have to be at work, and that's usually around 5:30 or 6. And so I usually have about an hour and a half before I have to leave for work. So that hour and a half, I naturally just have to go. I have to go to work. So I just have to shut it down. No matter what state it's in, I have to stop. then I come home and I have...
But stop right there. So you have no other choice. You have to go to work. But you know that if you hit build, it'll probably be done 1 minute before you need to go. Do you do that or do you resist?
I can't do that because there's been so many times where I've played it too close to the wire and I've been late.
Yeah, this is where.
Yeah, you have to like begin to like look at your time and say, do I want to push it up to 1 minute before I need to leave? No, it's 15 minutes before I need to leave right now. Experience tells me that this is not going to be fixed. The closer you get to a deadline, the more difficult your mind finds it to actually focus on the thing at hand. I just think that this still happens to me now. Now, if Melissa and the kids go out of town or something, or Melissa and my daughter go out of town, Alex is right. One more build, and before you know it, it's 6 a.m.
So, my house right now, the dishwasher didn't run. The bed is still, not made up. The blinds in the bedroom are down. I haven't showered in 2 days. I'm not kidding. I have not showered or shaved in 2 days. I was literally making breakfast at 10 past 12.
Is that I knew that this was happening to you just from the way that we interact on Signal. I already knew this. I knew what you were. I knew exactly what was happening to you, that you were getting sucked into what Alex is calling dopamine driven development.
DDD.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Like you have to develop.
You also can't have a family pretty much.
the dog is whining. Like, when am I going to get some water and some food
last night? So the dog came into the studio. That's where her bed is. And normally I take her out around 9:30 for the final walk. So it's 10:30. She comes into the studio, lays down in her bed. And then at midnight, she gets up and go and looks at me and walks to the door. It's like, Dad, this is it, bro. We gotta go. Yeah. And of course, I'm working on a streaming server, so I'm listening on the walk. Listening to transitions, how things are flowing one into another. And I come back, and I still got a half glass of wine. Like, okay, Phoebe, in your bed, and when on we go. We can do at least another hour.
It's here
insane.
We go.
It's insane. It's insane.
A couple of things that may help. One thing is I really do try not to code at night because it's too easy to just keep going.
Yeah.
And then you get terrible sleep for two reasons. One is that you just simply don't go to bed on time.
Don't get enough hours, period.
Don't get enough hours. And the other one is when you finally do get in the bed, your mind is still thinking it over and over and over.
Racing. Yeah, even worse, I put my phone next to my bed and was listening in bed to the transitions between different elements on the streamer.
Yeah, it's like that's a recipe for no sleep.
This is so bad.
But I'm
also having so much fun. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm really having a lot of fun.
Here's another thing is that when you when you're in a situation where like everybody's gone and you really have a whole lot of time,
you think you have time, but there's also other obligations you have that you're not thinking about. But yes,
exactly.
Yes.
There's a long, like what you can actually get a lot done. But what tends to happen to me, and I think this is more than just me, I think this is more applicable, is that later you find out that that long stretch of time, that 10 hours you spent on a single day coding, that some of that code, just because of like mental fatigue that you were not aware of,
you can just some of that you can code, toss it out. You can toss it out.
You're going to have to redo it later.
Yep, yeah. You can toss it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like big coding blocks of like 3-4 hours at a time, that's fun and you can get a lot accomplished. But when you start stretching it out for many, many, many hours without stopping or only brief breaks, I think a lot of that you're going to have to go back and you're going to find out later that it was not very good code.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you're vibe coding, it's really interesting where, you know, now I'm at the point where if it says, well, clearly you have the wrong version of FFmpeg installed. I'm like, okay, let's start a new conversation. Let's go back to the code I had before. And sometimes, like, there was one, I had one bug. It was literally a typo. It does, the LLMs do a lot of typos. Like pop open, it'll be capital P, capital O, P-E-N. Well, that's that won't weird. Work. It's got to be capital P, lowercase o. Uh-huh. So that stuff just pops in for no reason. Some nut job on Stack Overflow posted it wrong one day. It sucks it in completely incorrectly. Yeah. That's what's happening. And what was it? So it was literally one line had a bracket. It needed a space and then a bracket. And you know, now I'm getting actually pretty good at reading code and I'm seeing, okay, what's going on here. And I couldn't figure this one out. And it was going all over the place. And so I took the previous version, put it into a new conversation. Boom. Oh, you need a space here. Ugh. So it could fix it in a whole new, in a fresh start, which is bizarre. Just bizarre.
And this is Grok, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's your
chat.
Tool,
chat GPT sucks. I've tried chat. No, chat GPT. It makes everything so complicated. Takes you down so many roads, and it maybe ChatGPT just isn't as good at Python. Grok, I think, is built on Python. It executes code. Supposedly, it says executing code. Okay, so I guess it's executing code. I guess it's testing it internally. I don't see how they can do that for my $20 a month. I really don't.
I bet they can't. I bet they're losing money on every request.
I'm sucking up so much compute. I'm a compute monster. I'm just eating it up. Mm. Yeah, no, I've tried Claude too. I mean, I've tried them all. I have tried them all. That's what's so interesting. And maybe it just got used to how, you know, maybe you just get used to the quirks of each individual model, you know, each individual AI engine. You just get used to it. Like, okay, now I know what this is. This is wrong. Let me go over here.
What's funny is I was finishing up that script, the HLS upload script this morning, and I had not spent the time. The webhook server is the same thing that, you know, we use to hook into Sovereign Feeds and all that, and it unlocks our node and all. So I mean, it's just like a $5 a month Linode.
Yeah,
and I never took the time because there's really only like one or two scripts that run on that thing in response to a webhook. It's like one file. So I never took the time to like set up my IDE. I use PHP Storm JetBrains. And so I never took the time to like set all that up to where I could hook in and do the development locally. And so I was like, I need to put this script together. And I'm like, I don't want to fool with all that. I've only got a limited amount of time before work. So I'm going to just SSH in and fire up Pico, you know, or Nano or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I start writing this code, you know, in Nano text editor on SSH.
I'm so a VI guy. It's like, and Grok keeps wanting to bring me into Nano. I'm like, No, don't you see what I'm doing every single time? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. But it reminded me, of the very first code that we ever collaborated on together, the early days of Freedom Controller.
Yeah.
And I bet you 2/3 of the Freedom Controller was written in Pico in an SSH terminal. And I kid you not. This was like, what, 15 years ago? I mean, this is before, or I don't know how long ago, but this was sort of like before PHP IDEs and like this, the IDEs were not as mature for PHP as they are now. Mm. And so, I mean, it was all just text editor. Yeah. And the amount of bugs, of simple syntax bugs, when you just don't have like color highlighting,
it really threw me back.
I was like, this is awful. I hate this. I hate every second of it. I can't believe that I wrote, you know, 10,000 lines of code in a text editor. It's awful.
I used to use Pine as my email client. I was pretty good at it. I'll just look at the boardroom. So one really good thing is, you know, so I'm building a management interface for people to just manage a streaming station. And the streaming station, the music is all pre-programmed. The format comes with a format. You can change it around. The idea is you can change it around. And then it has all these different slots, station ID, promo, church promo, events, local. So these are all bins, and it can pick something at random, or you can select something individually. And so I'm like, okay, I want a management interface so that it's just like a calendar. Just make it work like a calendar. And it did, but it came up with such a cockamamie way of doing it, because ultimately you have to send, everything has to go to the streaming server as one YML file, YAML. And it was so convoluted that you wound up with a dashboard. I'm just telling you, this thing was nuts. With a dashboard with all these code blocks, and then if you inserted something into Wednesday, it would create another block for Wednesday, excluding that hour, and a new block for Wednesday with just that hour. I'm like, what is going on? So it did make me think about how I wanted it to work. And that really, to me, is the core of software development. Really sketching it out on paper. Okay, here's how I think it should work. Here's how it works on the back end. Here's what makes sense. And then you can actually get somewhere.
I forgot who it was. Who's the guy that wrote the famous algorithm book? There's a really famous book, computer science book on algorithms. I think it was that guy who said that you always have to, like, to truly get proper code, you need to rewrite it three times. The first time is not going to work. The second time is going to work, but it's not great. And the third time is when you fully, it's when, and Clifford, it's not
Stein?
About the,
was it Clifford Stein?
Ooh, I don't
Thomas Korman. No. Okay.
Let me see.
Introduction to Algorithms. Is that the one you're talking about?
Maybe.
Okay. No. Well, it doesn't matter.
The only thing that changes is your understanding of the problem.
Yeah.
As you understand the problem better, you begin to write code that more accurately maps to the problem domain itself. And so this can also have a negative effect too, because this is where developers get into an echo chamber, but like that you get blinders on, because especially when it doesn't show up so much in sort of like back end or under the covers code as it does in user interface development. You get so hooked into solving a user interface problem that you end up with a user interface that works, but it is so complex that regular humans
you
can't.
Don't know how to. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. By the way, Flask is my vibe, baby. I love Flask.
I don't know what that is.
Oh,
I've heard of it.
It's a Python thingamabob that specifically meant for creating web interfaces.
Okay.
Yes, and it's pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it looks, my web interface looks a lot like your Freedom Controller interface.
Yeah, it's unintelligible to mere mortals.
Well, no, yes. It's actually pretty simple. It just looks like crap. It just looks like, you know, you're expecting a blink tag somewhere. That's basically what it looks like. There's no design, and I can't wait for the day when I say, okay, let's beautify this and see what happens. But I've got drag and drop of elements, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Oh,
you got drag and drop.
Yeah.
Drag and drop is no joke. Web UI with drag and drop, you got to be real careful because that thing can get ugly.
Well, yes. Well, what you do is you use, use Flask, and then this, what's this thing? There's another thing that makes it really easy. It's a library. Let me see. It is sortable. It's a JavaScript library. Sortable.min.js.
Is that for sorting tables? Yeah. HTML tables?
Grunicum or whatever, that too. That's another one of those. Gunicum, whatever. All these Gunicorn. Yeah, Gunicorn. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, as soon as you put the first is draggable on any element in your HTML interface, you've entered the Wild West.
Oh man, I'm enjoying it immensely though. I really am, because you know I'm thinking pastors. You know, I'm thinking pastors. I'm thinking marketing people at a radio station. And yeah, don't. I think Cotton Gin was just taunting me by saying, NAM. They just dropped Liquid Soap 2.4. No. I'm not going down the Liquid Soap route again.
He's baiting you back in.
He got it to work. And it has if you really get it to work and it's singing along, but there's so many dependencies, so much can go wrong. I just don't have the energy. I'm loving FFmpeg. You know, it's pretty.
FFmpeg is tight.
It is. It does a pretty good job.
It's got to have one of the longest lists of possible
plugins.
Command line parameters.
Oh, parameters. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can make an FFmpeg command that is like 12 lines long, you know?
Well, it's cool. You know, it's like you can use it to normalize stuff. I made a processing chain. Man, the assumptions Grok LLM made were pretty nuts.
Oh, really?
I was like, sounds
like the Roadcaster.
Sounds like the opposite of the Roadcaster. Yeah, it was quite amazing. Quite amazing. All right. So
I don't know. My recording thing here, the recording has been at 90 megabytes for about 15 minutes. So this may be a failed experiment.
Oh, that's 90 megabytes for video. Nah, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, this sounds bad.
Oh, that's too bad. And I see that. Man. I think the Fountain screencast is either not implemented or not done properly, because I can screencast from YouTube TV and it pulls up my TV right away. So that must be a bug or not implemented or something.
Okay. It's not coming through to the
in general, that was a wonderful experiment. I want a snippet of us all jubilant on Pod News.
Yeah, with confetti.
Yeah. Yay! Exactly.
This is kind of annoying. I'm going to try to. Let's see. Let me hiccup the stream and see if it'll start over. Now, here's a good question. If let's say there is a general problem with doing this next phase of this experiment. Okay. With putting the HLS video stream into the regular episode item. Mm-hmm. And that is, how do you time sync? You know, if you're a listener and you're expecting to be able to bounce back and forth between the video and the audio,
you're talking very advanced stuff here. Well, yeah. You know what you need? A clapper. 3, 2, 1.
Oh yeah, yeah.
3, 2, 1. Yeah, yeah. Okay, start. Yeah, and then you can find the point and you can sync it up. You just have to put in a sync point in your video and in your audio, and then Bob's your uncle. We're back to the 1930s filming.
See, Alex said, I think I was suggesting to Spurlock an offset attribute.
Mm.
See, in that, I think that's going to have to be what this is it's going to have to be some, because you can't depend on, here's what, this is perfect, because we have the ability here to build this the right way from the, like, at, from the beginning. And the right, to me, what I'm calling the right way is I as a podcaster should not have to do some extra step to make sure that the video and audio are going to be synced in the podcast feed. I should be able to record my HLS stream just like we did. Like we're 10 minutes into the show, and then I fire up the HLS stream because I forgot.
Mm.
Or something like that. And then I should still just be able to say, okay, I record it, post it, and then exactly. Yes. Mad scissors.
I am running with scissors over here, baby.
So then I'd just be able to, you can post the audio and video, but we provide enough information so that the podcast app can figure out how to sync them.
Man, we haven't even done that with dynamically inserted ads yet. It might be a twofer.
Right. This, yeah, exactly.
With transcripts, you know, transcripts and DAI are a problem.
So this tells me, if there's a timestamp in the, I could see hitting this from multiple directions, you know? So if there's a time, there's gotta be a timestamp somewhere, a UTC timestamp of when a sort of the canonical start time of this episode.
Mm.
And when was it? And then you could either have the file itself timestamped in sort of like the ID3 tag or something. Spurlock says players that see video in the feed and want flawless sync experience back and forth will use the audio from the HLS, ignoring the MP3 entirely like Spotify does. Yeah, but see, to me, that just is not right.
No.
I understand that's the easy way to make sure that things are in sync, but man, because the HLS audio, like if people used the HLS audio from this, it would not be as good as your processed audio. No. You have the best audio experience in your MP3.
Yes.
That should be used. And the alternate enclosure is an alternate. It should not be used as the enclosure.
Right. And well, it's a minor hassle to flip back to video from video to audio and it being out of sync. I mean, it seems like there's ways to do it.
Well, you know, and that's what I was trying to, this is what I was thinking through, is that if there's a master timestamp somewhere to say this, if there's a master timestamp somewhere and then either the files or the enclosures referencing or the tags referencing the files have a corresponding timestamp as well.
Well, hold on a second.
Then you just need an offset.
I mean, if you just have your video file and you start it at the very head and you have your audio file and you start at the very head, it should in principle be pretty. Now, there's all kinds of reasons why it would get a little bit out of sync, but in principle, it should be pretty close to equal. I don't see why it wouldn't be if they're both playing at the same time or you're referencing that timestamp.
But see, like, so we're the worst case scenario. This is a great example of the worst case scenario because I'm recording video on my side. You're recording audio on your side.
Mm.
Neither one of us did anything to try to stay in sync. And somehow, and we're going to put both of these things into the episode.
We're not putting anything in because it stopped recording at 90 megs.
Yeah, but we should still stick it in there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Stick it in.
Why
there. Not? Stick it in. Is I it, agree. Hey, stick it in. Who cares?
I mean, it could be a QuickTime movie for all. We need to stick it in there.
QuickTime movie.
what was that thing? What was that old thing? The DivX? It could be DivX.
DivX. You know? DivX. Oh, man. DivX. Oh, I forgot about that. Hey, how are you on time? We're at 1:38. Do you got to go back to the office?
I need, it's just standard, standard stuff. So I'll be, well, yeah, we got another. 10 or 15
minutes. Well, then why don't we thank some people and wrap it up with whatever thoughts we have, because
okay,
I don't want you to be late. Here are the live boosts that came in. Not all of them were audible due to Roadcaster. Upbeats 333, Dave resisted the urge to build before heading out. Sounds like another good data segment. Well, I think we just did it, actually. 1,000 from Doma. Missed y'all live last week. Here's a few shekels. Thank you. Let me see. Seth, 215 sats. Seth. I don't think that's Sam Seth, the S3TH. Sounds like you're in a tunnel or an airplane. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's being generous. Yeah.
Master Poe sent a couple of two boosts. One from Castomatic and one from the Index. The first one, 1, 2, 3, 4. Grasshopper, rumors are like the wind. They stir the leaves, but they do not move the roots. Before you repeat the claim, seek its truth. If there's no evidence that Key's End is ending, they do not let fear dictate the path. Thus, you must guide your peers, not with fear of what may come, but with balance. Say, do not remove Key Send until its work is truly replaced. Add LN address where you can, but not the server roots that feed the tree. In this, you walk the middle path.
Oh, and it's, wow. Such wisdom from the top of the stairs.
Yeah, and Master Poe comes in again with 333. Grasshopper! Key Send, Grasshopper! Key Send and LN address are not rivals. Rivals, but different paths. The old bridge remains strong, while the new has yet to span all rivers. Keep both in your steps, for one serves the many, and the other beckons the future. Do not sever what still nurtures the tree. Balance is the path, and wisdom guides the way. I don't know what to make of that.
That's I don't know, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, it did sound a bit like Master CBS, CSB. Yeah. No, it was. It wasn't quite CSB.
Snatch the coin from my hand.
Yeah, the pebbles. When you can snatch the pebbles from my hand, it is time for you to leave, Grasshopper. All right, Dave, you got anything there? You got some boostograms and something on your list there? By the way, I think we really earned our spurs today, man.
We earned something.
And you're sure you want me to put all that nonsense in the beginning? At the beginning of the, okay.
Yes.
Clean up any big gaps, but we'll take it as it is.
Yeah, I mean, you got no post. No post.
Zero post show. I love it.
The boys at Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Hello.
Paula. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Ah, thank you, boys, for keeping it all running. So highly appreciated.
I should say boys and girls. Yes. There are girls at Buzzsprout.
Yes, yes, indeed. Indeed.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you guys. Who's it? Oh, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this name. Mikhail Breyer, I think is how you say this.
Okay.
$24, no note.
Oh, thank you, Mikhail.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mikhail. And we got some...
I really like how you sound, by the way, in this setting. I'm going to save this as the new Podcasting 2.0 setting. You sound good.
Am I on the JCD hot mix?
Yeah, well, I've tweaked it a little bit. You know, it's the mic, man. It's the mic. The mic really works.
I'm doing my best JCD impression right now, so it's probably coming through.
Yeah, it's working.
Let's see. We got some boostograms. Who we got here? Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast, Satchel Richards. He says, I'm definitely one of those people who won't be running a node or hardware. I'm totally fine with the trade-off that I could get rugged at any time. I should change my middle name to Thistle. Kyron Thistledown.
There you go.
It sounds sophisticated, and I'm not AI.
By the way, I was listening to Power FM, and they were talking about, you know, the James and Sam are very, very, I don't know what the right word is, but they're not liking that, you know, the AI, the Inception point AI. Yeah. And yeah. James made such a great point. I don't know if he really knew what he was saying, but he said, well, at a certain point, you'll essentially have a robot making the podcast, and because of people subscribing and it just downloading with people never listen to it, Mm-hmm. It's just a robot talking to a robot. No one ever hears it. And yet somehow advertisers are paying for it.
Yeah. So like,
it's dead casting.
Dead. Yeah. Was it dead internet theory?
Dead internet like dead theory. Podcast yeah. theory. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I was listening to him like, oh, James, shh, quiet about that, man. You don't want anyone to hear that. What? Downloads aren't always listens. What?
The thing I was thinking about with that is, like if it would be super easy to do this, I think, to get the economics of this. And I'm guessing this is something like what they're doing. I'm saying Inception or whoever this company is. I'm guessing that this might be it. Is you pump out some shows with AI, and then you use some kind of a traffic generator scheme type thing, Mopod is you can essentially buy subscribers.
Yeah, it's arbitrage. It's complete arbitrage.
Yeah, and then you just play the arbitrage. And I looked in the index, and they have to be doing something like that. So you just get enough. Things like these products like Mopod, I think the way they do is they use advertising in like games and stuff like that to get people to temporarily, to get people to go to the podcast app and subscribe.
Yes.
And then, so you'll get a temporary boost in downloads. And I think the way that, like, especially the Apple podcast app works, I think what you would have to do is you would have to release a bunch of episodes at once. Or very quickly back to back.
Every day, as an example.
Yeah, that appears to be what's happening. Because if you look at the episode release dates in the index for these shows, what you see is like a cluster of episodes released within a 1 day or 2 or 3 day period, and then there will be nothing for a while.
Mm.
And so you see like essentially batches of episodes, and those must correspond to the arbitrage campaign that they're running.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the math is simple. If you got 3,000 episodes a week, that's 12,000 a month. And if you can get 100 people,
mm-hmm.
100 downloads per episode, which is not much. So you're now talking 1 million. Am I right? Am I saying that right? No.
No, I can't math.
Hold on. So we have 12,000. Times 100 is 1.2 million downloads. Mm-hmm. So that is divided by 1,000. That is 1,200 times, let's say, remnant inventory. So let's say $5. Yeah, it's not really worth it. $6,000 a month. That's not really worth it.
We've seen this type of like at scale at a big enough scale.
No, it starts to make sense, but not for a company with, five people in the C-suite.
Well, no, what I was going to say though, I was going to say something different though, is the, like, we've seen this before. We've seen this sort of, like loopholing of a money earning scheme on the web. I mean, these web content factories, that like Quora and like those have been around a long time. This is an old scheme.
Yeah.
It just happens to be using new technology to do this old scheme, and where, recipe websites.
I mean, well, Well, here's what I propose, and then we should continue because you're going to be real late. I propose we let them go because they'll probably come up with 50,000, not 5,000 podcasts, but 50,000. And, when the stuff is humming along, then we're going to send them a little note and say, yeah, we're thinking of blocking you from the index.
Yeah.
But, we'll take a donation.
This a protection racket.
That's exactly what it is. You wouldn't want anything bad to happen, would you?
It'd be a shame if something bad happened to these AI podcasts.
Come on, man. give us the rest of our V for V people here. I want to get you out.
Okay. Let's see. We got, there's the delimiter. What? These came in a little bit out of order here. Hey, citizen.
Hey, citizen.
To Podverse. Satchel Richards, legacy boost using deprecated technology. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Hold on. I think Point. I have. Don't I have a jingle? Yeah, we do have that.
Hey, citizen.
There we go. I knew I had it.
Yeah,
somewhere.
There it is.
Yeah.
5,000 sats from Anonymous through Thank Podcast you. Index. The most consistent trait I see in the decentralization ecosystem is inconsistency.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whether it's related to Noster, podcasting, value for value music, or private messaging, everybody wants to make a baby, but nobody wants to raise it.
Yeah. Trust straight up.
Hey, that's called open source software. That's right. The definition. That's
exactly what it is.
And you know what else you call it? Freedom.
Freedom.
CLOS on Linux, 2222, a row of ducks through Fountain. He says, I'm back. I ran out of sats and then took a summer break. People tell me you're supposed to chill out and not be busy constantly, even though that bores me. I also feel really bad and sad about Todd. I'm happy to have met and hung out with him in London this year, though. Did not take a picture with him, though. Of course I didn't. This might be the last thing our group needed right now. Surprise death of a leadership position. We cannot let this project keep fading. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. 5,000 sats from Odyssey Westra? That's interesting.
Sounds like a defragmenting is in order.
Uh-huh.
You've been defragmented.
When it comes to running relays, you guys can probably run your own filtered relay, because if you took a look at a relay called filter.noster.wine, it has a way of aggregating multiple relays and giving you a feed. This is designed to reduce spam on the Noster network. And also battery life, because it's there less. I think some autocorrect happened here. So if each podcast app has its own relay to handle its own community, and Podcast Index can just take in those feeds that are submitted and then aggregate them together in a single global feed, then that way that gives you a central information point. But if you guys go down, each podcaster has their own relay and then can handle their own loads. Just my two cents. Still love you guys. And I'll bet you do. Go podcasting.
Thank you.
Thanks, Odyssey Wester. Appreciate that comment. Vila, 21,000 sats. Wow. Ooh,
thank you.
Thank you, Vila. Through Fountain, he says, just emptying my sats. I mean sacks. Greetings from Finland. Vila, hey. Go podcasting.
All right, go podcasting in Finland.
Tone Wrecker. Hey, Tone Wrecker. 4444. Through Fountain, he says, been out of the loop, playing catch up. Thanks for your ongoing efforts. This is a return to Boostergram Central this week.
That's right. And love it.
And there we got the delimiter. Comments Drip.
Ah, he's here.
12825 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Jesus followers. Adam and Dave.
Yes.
Since John Spurlock helped me in the area of YouTube content creation, I'd like to recommend his SaaS, op3.dev. Quote, the Open Podcast Prefix Project, OP3, is a free podcast prefix analytics service committed to privacy. Podcasters or podcast hosting companies can prepend https://op3.dev/e/ to podcast episodes, URLs in their feed to participate and start measuring downloads. End quote. Yo, CSB, the maker of www.trading.toys.
Yes, and I was corrected. It's not just a bunch of Bitcoin charts. Go look at
trading.toys.
Trading.toys. Yeah, trading.toys. Yeah, it is much more. It's true CSB. Sorry about that.
I've got it right here on my screen. Trading.toys/LB is the live Bitcoin, but it also has Satoshi to USD.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of stuff.
Converter. Yep. And we got some monthlies. We got, golly, that screen is blowing me out here. Get off of that. We got Derek J. Visker, $21. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Thank you, Paul. Damon Cassajack, $15. Jeremy Gerds, $5. And here, we need to have a discussion about this, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
We got a donation from New Media Productions, which was Todd's PayPal. Do you want to contact Rob and see what to do with this?
Yeah, we can't take that.
Because we can send that. We'll just send that back.
That, by the way, is something, an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the subscriptions and stuff that just continue after you're gone.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
That's very weird. Although it is kind of Todd saying, "Hi guys, I'm watching you. I got my eye on you." That's how it kind of feels like that. Like
Todd, I saw it Todd come in this morning, and I had
it's such a weird feeling,
a strange experience. Yeah,
wasn't there a story of a guy? This is internet lore, and he passed away, but he was logged in to a server, and everyone just kept him logged in. Never rebooted the server, and you could look at his uptime. It was like 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was internet lore. Yeah. Back from the day of Emacs.
It doesn't even matter if it's true. It's just good.
It just sounds good.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have Rob's contact that you can ping him about this?
I do. I will.
All right. Gene Liverman, $5. Thank you, Gene. Michael Hall, $5.50. And Timothy Voice, $10.
Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. The index, of course, podcastindex.org. Everything goes to keep the machines running. And of course, if you need liquidity for your key send, I'm happy to provide it to you. Just hit me up and we'll take care of that. Go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. Big red button. A donate button. Hit that and go to the PayPal for our Fiat Fun coupons. And that will have to conclude it for today.
Well, I guess.
But now I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait before publishing so you can tell me how to grab. You're going to push it through your pipeline and then I'll hook it in.
I'm going to see what this does. I'm going to hit the script. Let me go ahead. Let me go ahead and do this now. I'm going to figure out if this is going to break.
Syntax error.
I wrote this completely blind. I have not run it before.
I love that. That's so good.
It's a PHP script. Okay, PHP HLS upload. Let's hit. Wait, I got to stop the stream though.
Okay, stopping the stream.
Stopping stream. Stream stopped. All right. HLS upload. Syntax error.
Really?
Yes. Syntax error. Unexpected open curly brace on line 3.
Oh, it's at the top. Easy to find.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, really? This is the problem with Pico.
You going to try something or?
HLS. Let's see. Let me open it up real quick. On line 3? I see what I did. Yeah. Yep. That'd do it. That would do it every time. Yeah. It's not, this is the compiler like lying to you. It's not a curly brace problem. It's a close parentheses problem.
My favorite is parse error.
Oh, okay. It's working.
Oh, okay. All right. We're vibing. All right.
Yeah. So I'll upload this and then I'll signal you the link to the M3U8 file.
Yeah, and then tell me what parameters I need to put in there. I need to put the video thing in there as well? I guess so, huh?
Yeah, it should be literally identical to the one that's in the episode tag, just with a different URL.
Okay.
That's in the live item tag.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
This will be interesting.
No.
You living? Okay.
I'm choking. All right, boardroom. Thank you very much, Brother Dave. Have yourself a great weekend and fingers crossed for this test. This has been, without a doubt, one of the most interesting board meetings of Podcasting 2.0. We'll be back next week and it all will work, I promise.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!